Welcome to Family Talk with your host, psychologist and author, Dr. James Dobson. I'm Luann Crane, here with co-host Ryan Dobson. And Ryan, our topic today is discipline, undoubtedly one of those less pleasant aspects of parenting.
Oh, Luann, a lot of parents struggle with this topic. Mm-hmm. I struggle with this topic. Mm-hmm. I don't want to feel like I'm yelling or lecturing our kids. And yet children desperately need that guidance on behavior and character from their parents, especially in those formative years.
Well, weary parents, rejoice, because today we have some solutions and some ideas for you on this edition of Family Talk. We will be listening in on a conversation our host, Dr. Dobson, had with Lisa Welchel. She is the author of the book Creative Correction, Extraordinary Ideas for Everyday Discipline.
And depending on our listeners' age, they may recognize that name.
It's going to date me.
She played Blair on the sitcom The Facts of Life. Mm-hmm. And we're going to hear more about that time in her life in a moment. But today, Lisa is a popular speaker with the Women of Faith conferences and the author of over a dozen books. And her latest is entitled Friendship for Grownups.
And Lisa's been married to Steve since 1988. They have three children, Tucker, Haven, and Clancy.
Well, let's join in this conversation as my dad asks her more about her time in Hollywood as a child actress, specifically how she got her start as a Mouseketeer on the new Mickey Mouse Club. So here now is Lisa Welchel on this Family Talk broadcast.
How did you get started in that? How did you get your first break into television?
My mom signed me up for an acting class when I was 7 because I was just painfully shy, and she was worried about me and thought it might help me overcome my shyness. So,
you were shy?
I was very shy, yes. I was so shy I wouldn't even go out at playtime at school. I would stay in and help the teacher. And so my teacher kind of alerted my mom, and she signed me up for a school drama class. And it really did work to some extent in that once I was on stage, I took to it like a duck to water. And so I just kept taking acting classes, and when I found out that Walt Disney Productions was producing a new Mickey Mouse Club, I thought that's what I want to do. I had even said to my mom, you know what, I want to be an actress, but I want to be a child actress. I don't want to wait till I grow up. So it was a perfect opportunity.
And so you auditioned? You actually tried out in
I
that
did.
Way.
I auditioned. Believe it or not, I had missed the auditions, and I was devastated because I really thought this was what I was supposed to do, was be on the new Mickey Mouse Club. And I did write Walt Disney Productions a letter, and I told them that I was an actress. I wanted to be a child actress, but I was a Christian, and that there were very few places that I knew that I would be able to work and not compromise my beliefs. Now, I know a lot has changed since then, but back then I knew that on the Mickey Mouse Club that I would be able to maintain my Christian beliefs and still get to do what my heart desired to do.
Now, amazingly, your mother let you go to Hollywood and live with your grandmother at 12 years of age.
Well, she went with me initially, but I do have a little brother 4 years younger than me. So my grandmother began living with me, and I would go back and forth, and my mom would trade off with her and even guardians here or there.
Huh. What was the overall experience of being on the new Mickey Mouse Club for you?
Overall, I think I had a fabulous adventure on The Facts of Life, but the Mickey Mouse Club was my favorite. Singing,
really?
Dancing, getting to perform at Disneyland, ride the rides before it even opened. It was a child's paradise. It got harder as I got older.
Yeah.
And through The Facts of Life years, it hit me that I was in some ways missing my childhood and in a lot of ways
missing my family.
In a lot of ways. Not in ways that if I were to have the opportunity to choose, I don't know that I would have chosen any differently than way my life, you know, happened.
Turned out to be.
That's right.
How about The Facts of Life? When you look back on that, was it a good thing? Was it a positive experience?
It was. And even the fact that some of the hardest times of my life were during The Facts of Life. Of course, you know how the Lord uses those to turn them around to be some of the best times of my life because they drew me closer to Him.
How difficult was it for you as a very young girl, teenager, by then, in a very pagan place? Were you ever asked to compromise your faith?
Yes. There was an episode, actually two episodes on The Facts of Life, one in the early seasons where they assumed if we were going to have a show called The Facts of Life, they would need to deal with that issue. And they chose Blair, and they wanted her to lose her virginity. And I had only been on the show about a year and a half, but I had a little meeting with the producers and explained to them that I would not be able to participate in that way. And that not only because I was a Christian, but I also felt a very real responsibility to the other girls that were watching the show. And a lot of them would be getting that peer pressure. And I didn't want to be using my talent that the Lord had given me to perpetuate the lie that that was just a normal fact of life.
You actually turned down this responsibility. You told the producer you wouldn't do it.
Yeah, that's right.
That took a lot of guts. Where'd you get the courage to do that?
Well, when I became a Christian at 10, I knew that was what my life was all about. I wanted to be an actress, but my life was about serving Jesus. So it was first, and then, of course, the job was second.
You know, before we went on the air, Lisa, you were talking about how you became a Christian, and that is also a very impressive story. You went to church on your own at 10. You selected the church you wanted to go to and went without your family, as I understand it.
Yes.
And found Jesus there.
Yes, it's not a real dramatic testimony.
That's pretty dramatic.
Well, okay, it's dramatic in that my girlfriend and I wanted an excuse to wear a dress. And so we thought, well, we'll go to church. So we got all dressed up one Sunday and hopped on our bicycles. And I happened to live two doors down and across the street from a little Baptist church. And, you know, I don't know how to explain it other than to say that I knew that my heart had found its home. I didn't know all that they were saying or even understand it, but I did know that this was what my life was all about, was serving Jesus.
You're obviously a woman with a great deal of conviction and courage, and in fact, that is being played out in your life right now because you more or less walked away from show business, didn't you?
Yes, I did. We finished the last episode of The Facts of Life in March of 88. I was married in July of 88, then had three children within 3 years, and have spent the last 10 years just being a full-time mom and homeschooling the
no,
kids.
No, Lisa, no, you don't say just
okay,
being
you're right,
a full-time
you're right.
mom. Don't ever say just.
I stand corrected. You're right.
That's the greatest role you can have.
It is.
Do you feel that
Absolutely.
way?
Absolutely. I have loved every minute of it. I went from a really wonderful experience to an even better experience. And a lot of times the media will ask me, well, how could you give up show business to be a mom? And I tell them, you know, I chose the better role.
I'm sure you know that many of the child actresses and actors from that era flamed out later on.
Mm-hmm. A lot of the media ask me, because it's very typical of child stars to end up in a destructive way. And it's an opportunity for me to, when they say, why did your life turn out different than most child stars? And it's an opportunity for me to tell them that everyone is born with a hole in their heart that they're trying to fill up. And the fact that I came to California, that was already taken care of, that I knew why I was here, and I was satisfied with the love of Jesus. I didn't have to look anywhere else. And so I didn't go down those paths that end in destruction.
On days when those three kids are acting up and things aren't going well and stuff is spilt and all kinds of problems are occurring, which do in every family, do you think back on those glory days and wish you could go back to them?
No, I don't. If I didn't have children, I would definitely still be in show business because it really is an opportunity if there's a role that I could play. Now, we're in a different time now, and I don't even know that there would be roles that I could play without compromise. But if there were, I had a great time, and I loved being an actress. But again, I mean, even on the worst days, motherhood is much better than fame. Mm.
Well, it is a different world, unfortunately, and the sitcoms that are prepared for the evening primetime shows are absolutely horrible. They're horrible. And I can't imagine Christian people sitting and watching them, much less allowing their kids to watch them. Do you feel that way?
Oh, absolutely. Definitely. My children, you know, you have to even be careful with cartoons these days, much less primetime television.
Well, you have written a book that is very much related to your role as a full-time mom called Creative Correction, Extraordinary Ideas for Everyday Discipline. And much of the content for this book comes out of your personal experience, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. As a matter of fact, I write a disclaimer at the very beginning of the book that says, if you ever meet my children on the street, just know that we're in this together and I'm writing this book not from a point of perfection, but definitely a point of imperfection.
You say that in here when you're dealing with guilt, that none of us have perfect kids.
No.
Not a single one of us. Those of us who write on this subject need to admit that.
Yeah, and it's not hard for me to admit that. Yeah. As far as the stories that I use a lot of stories from my own children, and especially my son Tucker, who was diagnosed with ADHD.
ADD, yeah.
And there are a lot of stories in there to hopefully encourage other moms as they see that we're, you know, I read all the same parenting books and went to the parenting classes, and you know, the kids just sometimes don't cooperate.
I noticed that. That's right on target. On page 169 of your book, you have a delightful story about Tucker. Tucker's one of your kids.
Tucker's right? My son.
Okay. And you said to him, I really want you to do your best to obey the babysitter tonight. And he said, well, Mom, I just don't know if I can do that, he admitted. My eyebrows rose. Why? With a straight face, Tucker said, well, there's so much foolishness built up in my heart. I don't think there's any room for goodness and wisdom. And then you said, well, maybe we need to step into the bathroom and drive that foolishness out, he said. And Tucker's eyes widened. Wait a minute, he said. I feel the foolishness going out all by itself. The goodness is coming in right now. And I didn't know whether to laugh or cry. That's good stuff, Lisa.
You know, one of my favorite stories about Tucker, though, is he was just, we were out to breakfast with some friends, and he was on top of the table and under the table and throwing the napkins and everywhere. And we got home exhausted, and I lay across the bed putting him down for a nap, and I said, honey, what happened today? And he looked at me with a straight face, and he said, Mom, sin is pleasurable for a season.
Did he? Really?
He's heard a lot of scripture growing up.
He's listening, obviously.
Yes,
that must be gratifying to you. It's funny, but it also told you that you're getting through to him.
Yes.
Let me read from the flap copy of your book. You said, have you found yourself at a point with your child where you feel as if you've tried everything but are still facing the same behavioral problems? Ever wished you knew more effective ways to change your child's inner self and not just his outward behavior? If so, take heart. Creative correction is full of ideas when you have absolutely no idea of what to do. That's kind of the target. That's kind of the objective for the book, isn't
it? The objective is practical help. I've read a lot of parenting books, and I know a lot of other mothers have, too. And we all know what we're supposed to be doing. Sometimes we just want somebody to tell us, okay, then, now show me how to do it. How do I walk this out? And so this book is broken down into toolboxes at the end of each chapter, which take the philosophies that we know and we believe in and put them into action, and so that it's full of hundreds of creative and practical ways to discipline your children beyond timeouts and spankings.
Now, you are experiencing right now some of the things you write about because you and your husband, Steve, are traversing the United States in a motorhome, and you're homeschooling or motorhome schooling,
right,
as the case may be. And so for 1 year, you all are together as a family, the three kids and the two of you.
Mm-hmm.
And you said so far it's going okay.
So far, we call it the family dream, and so far it's better than we dreamed. Everything has been easier, even the fact that we have the three kids, 3 years mm-hmm. in age together in that 40-foot motorhome.
And why did you decide to do this?
Mostly because I have so enjoyed being a full-time mom, and it has been the greatest time of my life. But I would have been disobedient not to write the books that the Lord had opened the doors for me to write. And it was a grieving process that we all went through for me to, in essence, go back to work. And but, you know, the Lord never, ever ask us to give something up that he doesn't give it back here on earth and a hundredfold in heaven. And that's what happened. One of the publishers asked me when I was talking about the book, would you be able to go and publicize this book? Because I know that you're a full-time mom. Will you leave your children? And I said, well, I'll go if I can bring my kids with me. Mm-hmm. And that's where the wheels started rolling. Hey, I'll do that. I'll write this book. But then as far as to publicizing it, I'm going to take the kids with me. And so I had to give up some time with them at home, yes, to write it. But we're getting it back now, multifold.
So you are doing a lot of speaking.
Yes, we're speaking in about 40 to 50. And I do say we. I just noticed I said we, and I like that because my kids are really feeling a part of the ministry. And so we are speaking in about 40 or 50 churches throughout the year.
Do you find young families especially are confused about raising their children? They don't have quite as good a fix on how you go about doing that, discipline and training and self-esteem and all those things you're trying to do with them and introducing them to Christ, you find them kind of lost at this time?
I do. And I think that it's for many reasons. It's not just that many times, you know, they didn't have the upbringing or the parent in the home, but times are different and kids are different. And it's harder because of the influences on the kids. So we have some pulling in opposite directions, both from the parent's side and also from the children's side. So even those who know what to do, it's a difficult time to raise
kids. So there's a hunger for this kind of information.
Yes, there's a hunger for help in practical ways.
Let's go back to your personal commitment here in regard to homeschooling. Do you have an organized curriculum that you stick with, or you're kind of making it up as you go along, depending on where you stop and what you see?
It's much different than we've done it at home. At home, we had the organized curriculum and the set hours a day. But I thought it would be silly to go around America and stay in the RV for the first 3 hours of every day. So we are doing a set math and language arts every day that they can even do in the car on the way somewhere if they need to. And on the long drives, we do a lot of writing and state reports and writing postcards and letters. Other than that, we're learning it on the road, at the national parks, at the museums, the living history museums, the places that we just stop along the side of the road, where they're learning the history and the science that way.
And you're loving it?
Oh, absolutely. Loving it.
Talk to the mother out there, especially who has been enticed by the possibility of homeschooling, but is afraid and thinks about all the work and thinks about how confining that is and wonders if she's going to not be able to do it right and that she might mess up her kids educationally. You have any encouragement for them?
I do. There's a lot more available to help moms these days, or dads for that matter, to homeschool than anyone would ever guess. You can get as involved as you want to be involved. You can do hands-on, you know, activities all day long, or you can get a video program and let them sit in front of the video and have someone teach them that way. But at least they're in the home environment and they're there with you under your protection, and you're developing the family bonding and all the things that you want and that are such wonderful blessings of homeschooling. But you don't have to, if you don't feel qualified or you don't feel up to the task, there's a lot more available help-wise than anyone would ever guess.
What is the number one reason you chose to homeschool?
The number one reason was to have the time to pour into my children and mold them according to the ways that I wanted to mold them, according to the standards of the Lord. And that takes time. And if they're away from home from me the majority of the day, and then when they are home, they're still working on homework, and then it's dinner and a bath, that leaves me very little time to actually pour into them and shape and mold them. So it was mostly the time factor to be with them.
As well as the influences sometimes of the schools?
The influences, that there are many secondary reasons, but the number one was the time to shape their lives.
That's admirable. The title of the book is Creative Correction, Extraordinary Ideas for Everyday Discipline by Lisa Welchel. Lisa, what is new about discipline, creative discipline, if you will? It's been around ever since parenting, 5,000 years or more. How can it be new when it is so old?
Well, of course, it's all based on the old and based on the Bible and the way that our Father God corrects his children. Yeah. And but at the same time, these ideas came out of a desperate time for me. And so when they're creative, you are creating something new. And I had come to the point where I said, Lord, I have done everything I know to do. And I have done it consistently, and it's not working. I don't know what else to do. And the Lord just, he oftentimes just waits for us to get to that point,
really
no matter
does.
What it is
That's
we're
right.
dealing with, marriage or finances or parenting or whatever it is. And he said, okay, I'll help you. And he is a creative God. He created the world, so he came up with some creative ideas, and he is our Father, so he knows a little bit about parenting. And it came to the point where every time I came into a conflict with one of my children, I'd just say, okay, God, how do I handle it? What do I do? And he would drop an idea into my mind that was perfect for that child, that situation, their personalities. He knew them better than I did. And I began living this way. I didn't realize that not everyone lived this way until my friends said, as they watched me, you've got to write some of these ideas down. I never would have thought of doing that. And so this book is full of those ideas for, I'm naturally creative. I'm not naturally a lot of things, but I am naturally creative. But I know that that's not all moms are toward that bent.
Yeah.
So this book is for them to be able to pick up and go to the topical index at the back if they're dealing with sibling conflict or whining or laziness, and it'll shoot them to four or five different ideas, and they'll pick one that they think works for them. And in the heat of the battle, there's an answer.
You make the point in here that one size does not fit all. You really emphasize that. And having three kids and one of them is ADHD or has ADHD, I can understand why. But explain to folks why that's the case.
You know, you really don't need to explain it to any parent that has more than one child. They know that they are so different, and what works for one child won't necessarily work for another. And I feel the same way on a broader scale, that what works for one family is not necessarily going to work for another family. And that's why a real passion of mine is for parents to really have confidence in the fact that God gave them their children for a reason, and not to look to other families and seeing what they're doing with their kids, but to trust that God even uses our weaknesses in parenting to shape our children the way He wants them shaped.
My earlier work on child development led me to conclude, this is when I was in my 20s, that kids are born with kind of a blank slate, and the parental child relationship stamps in certain behaviors and attitudes. Then I came to realize that every one of those kids are very, very infinitely different. And they are sometimes easy to raise and sometimes hard. And you get all set for how the first one responds, and the second one comes from another end of the universe. And you have to adapt.
Yes.
And if you don't do it, you're following a formula which probably won't work for one of them.
Exactly. I'm not going to name names, but we have one very compliant child. And, you know, I could be tempted to take the credit for her, but then I would actually have to take the blame for the other ones. So I steer away from that.
And they do vary tremendously. Those temperaments are expressed almost at the moment of birth.
Yes. My husband has come up with a really great way of describing our children. He describes them with colors. He says that our son is the primary colors. He is bold red and vibrant yellow and green. He's rarely blue, but he's fire orange. My middle daughter is the more rich burgundy jewel tones, very deep, very complicated. And then the little one is fluorescence, just hot pink and fluorescent green. So they really do, they come out of the womb. He tagged them as toddlers with those colors.
And how ridiculous of us to have thought otherwise. Can you imagine the infinite God we serve having crafted those children in their mother's womb with all the genetic contribution of generations past and having them come out rubber stamped in one way or another? That doesn't make sense.
And it doesn't make sense with the way He deals with us, because, you know, we do seem to grow the most through the things we go through and the hard times we go through. And if we just got one easy one, we wouldn't grow. And I don't know that He'd let us get away with that.
When your kids were young, I think you implied a minute ago that you kind of felt like you hit the wall a little bit.
Well, I had three children in diapers.
No wonder you hit the wall.
So thankfully, though, I was able to devote everything at that time in my life. My husband was gracious, and we lived on the one salary. He's an associate pastor, and I was able to pour everything into them. I think what makes it really hard are the days that moms have to work and still have the three kids, and then you really hit the wall.
And there are a lot of them out there.
It's a lot tougher than even having three kids in diapers.
It sure is. Lisa, we're just getting started on the content of your book. We want to get acquainted with you first. And if you will be so kind, we'll talk about it next time, and we'll get into the specific suggestions that you've made. You call it a toolbox.
Call it a toolbox. Mm-hmm.
And so those are just very practical ideas that you have found that work, and you've shared them with other parents, haven't you?
Yeah, and you know what's great about it is some of them work and some of them don't. But you can throw those out that don't work and try something else.
It's a pleasure to get acquainted with you again. We met about 11 or 12 years ago, and I look forward to continuing our conversation next time.
I do too. Thank you.
Well, we hope this Family Talk conversation with our guest Lisa Welchel has been helpful to you. Ryan, I especially appreciated Lisa's mother's heart. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you can hear the love for her children and even for the profession of motherhood loud and clear in her voice. Yeah. I know that's an encouragement to all of us who are moms.
Well, Luann, it's like my dad said a few minutes ago, there's no such thing as just a mom.
I appreciate
How
that.
Insulting to hear that sometimes. We do hope this has been helpful for moms and dads looking for positive and effective ways to discipline, and we're going to have a lot more of that next time.
In the meantime, you can find a copy of Lisa's book, Creative Correction, at familytalk.org. While there, take a look at Lisa's blog or request some of our parenting CD collections. Lots of resources there at familytalk.org.
And if you'd prefer to call us for that, our number is 877-732-6825. And when you're on the line, if you could give a donation to the work of Family Talk, we would greatly appreciate it.
We are completely supported by the generosity of those who are listening right now, Ryan. We do especially need some families who will link arms with Family Talk by donating on a regular monthly basis. Those folks are what keep the wheels of this ministry turning.
So true. Again, you can donate at familytalk.org, or one last time, our number is 877-732-6825.
Thanks for taking time to be with us today, especially you busy moms. Make plans to be with us tomorrow when we'll hear more creative discipline ideas with Lisa Welchel right here on Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson.